Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by 1-800-Flowers. There's a lot of options when it comes to buying flowers for Valentine's Day, and Valentine's Day is coming up, but there's only one rose authority, and that's why every year keep coming back to 1-800-Flowers.com. These breathtaking roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak and shipped overnight to ensure freshness and your loved one's amazement. 1-800-Flowers has exclusive offers for you, the Pardon My Take award-winning listeners. Today's offer is 24 multicolored roses for only $29.99. And here's the deal we're going to do right here. To get that amazing Valentine's deal, like those 24 multicolored roses for only $29.99, or you can upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code PMT. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. Click the radio icon and enter code PMT. Why wait to wow? Order right now. Today's episode is also brought to you by H&R Block. It's tax season, and if you're doing your own taxes this year, you've got to try H&R Block More Zero. The zero stands for zero dinero, zero cost, as in totally free. And unlike TurboTax, absolutely zero, H&R Block More Zero lets you file online for free even if you itemize deductions. You heard me, if you deduct things like mortgage interest and charitable donations, you could still file free with H&R Block More Zero. Can you do that with TurboTax? No, you can't. And you don't give me some line about being too hard to move all your stuff over. It's so easy to switch H&R Block online from TurboTax or any other tax preparer for that matter. Just snap a pic with your phone or drag and drop your files from your tablet or laptop, and voila, last year's tax returns and your very important documents are imported in seconds. It's simple. And seriously, free tax prep shouldn't cost you money, because then it's not free. So if you're paying somewhere else, check out More Zero from H&R Block online. Like John Hamm says, don't just get your taxes done, get your taxes won. To get your taxes won and get all the details on Block's free tax prep options, visit hrblock.com/pardonmytake. Let's go.
Presented by Bar Stool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Monday, February 6th, and the Patriots are Super Bowl champions, the greatest Super Bowl game of all time.
Ooh, so we're just going to jump. Okay. Wow. So I actually wrote this down because there's some debates that are coming.
Okay, let's get right into it.
Number one, off the bat, is this the best Super Bowl of all time?
Okay, well, people forget there's never been an overtime.
That's a good point. I want to wait until Skip Bayless weighs in on it tomorrow morning. I think we all need to give him his due.
Yes.
He'll kind of set the tone for what that debate's like. I also think that this game was like the most polarizing game in the world. It was basically either you're a Patriots fan or you're a Patriots hater.
Yes.
This game. And it was strange because it got broken down almost according to politics, because they lumped the whole Brady, Belichick, Trump thing in. And then now the entire New England Patriots, I guess, just stood for Trump in a lot of people's minds tonight.
Yes. It was a hell of a game. It was when the Falcons went up that early, I figured, you know what, this is like no way the Patriots would come back, because the Falcons are going to keep scoring at will. Their offense was clicking. But the weird thing that happened was you get to halftime, the Falcons' offense hadn't been on the field for like an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, they ran rested.
They ran like 35 plays total in the game or something ridiculous like that. And their defense just started to get gassed. Tom Brady started to have time. He threw a million passes. It was 400, 50 yards or something. We're not stats guys. Everyone knows that. But James White, unbelievable. Kyle Shanahan, what the hell was he doing? Just run the ball.
Couple things here. Number one, was the Falcons offense too explosive?
Yes.
We're going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the biggest thing that we're going to talk about is, did the Patriots win this game or did the Falcons lose it?
Ooh, I think they lost it. I think the Falcons lost it. All they had to do, there was two key points in the game. when the Falcons, when Matt Ryan fumbled with pressure, a blitz right in his face. It was third and one. Devontae Freeman was running all over the field. Why they didn't run there, why they did a, you know, five-step drop there to get that fumble, or why Matt Ryan didn't just eat the ball and take the sack,
yep,
no one will ever know. And then the other moment was the Falcons with 4 minutes left. They're up eight, and they're driving. They're on the 20-yard line. They run the first down play. They get no yards. Then they pass twice in a row, get a couple penalties, get out of field goal range. If you just run the ball straight up the middle, don't even gain a yard, which they, I mean, they probably would have gained yards.
Yeah, but you're also kind of talking like a loser right now.
No, but you're up.
You're saying like
Dan Quinn of all people.
Win.
Dan Quinn of all people should know that you got
to
kick the field goal.
Okay.
And if they kick the field goal in that moment, now it's a two-score game with 4 minutes left. That's a lot harder for the Patriots to come back on.
I understand in retrospect, yes, but you're also talking like a loser right now.
But it was this is actually a real debate because the Falcons, I do think that they have no one to blame for themselves in that second. The second half started, and the Patriots knew they had to basically play perfect.
So, yeah, the Falcons were absolutely dominating. I feel like I got roofied by the NFL somewhere in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Like I woke up halfway through the fourth, and it was a game now.
Yes.
And it's a possibility. I could see Goodell doing that, like roofing people to drive up the ratings. No one's changing the channel. The only thing I really remember from that third was basically Mr. Clean cucking America.
Yes, he did.
We are all cucks now.
Yes.
Especially Dan Quinn, because you know that Pete Carroll is looking at Mr. Clean. He's like, that's my kind of guy.
Yes.
Bald head.
Yeah.
Strong. He's actually more Dan Quinn than Dan Quinn is.
Yes. Gus Bradley and Dan Quinn. Mm-hmm. Pete Carroll has a thing for white guys who are bald and kind of look like
Mr. Clean.
Or what's his name from Breaking Bad?
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember his name.
Walter White.
It's the white Walter guy. White. Yeah, the number one character of all time. I can't even remember his name right now.
Speaking of more white guys, how about the white guy from the Patriots that had the best game, not even being a white guy?
James White.
Yeah.
James White had a great
game.
Getting
in on the fun.
He should have been MVP. He had three touchdowns. He was all over the field. They had no answer for him.
There we go. There's another debate. Let's get it cooking. Milmore, what do you say? Should White have been MVP?
Yes.
Here's the thing. Tom Brady did the old Brett Favre where
it was a participation trophy for Tom Brady. It was a lifetime achievement award.
Brett Favre used to always have those fourth quarter comebacks, and it was because he played like shit the first three quarters, so his team needed him to come back.
Yep.
Tom Brady was not good in the first three quarters of that game. He was missing wide receivers. He looked panicked. He had, you know, bad feet. He was getting pressured. And then he just turned it on. He became Tom Brady again, and that's why he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay.
Another debate. Not a debate.
That's not really a debate.
It's not really a debate anymore.
No, we can say he is the greatest quarterback of all time, asterisk, though.
Yeah.
Exactly. But he's the greatest.
Yes.
Well, you know what we need to buy a goat instead of, like, a goldfish next time? We'll have a gambling goat and just name the goat asterisk.
I like that. I like that. Another debate for you. Kyle Shanahan, was he too focused on his new job?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. His mind was on West Coast time.
No doubt. They should have pulled a Nick Saban and fired Lane Kiffin. Just hired Lane Kiffin for the Super Bowl, then fired him.
Yeah.
Actually, no.
No, they should have hired
Alabama still lost, so it probably still would have lost.
But, well, it would have been fun.
By the way, just a side note that has nothing to do with the Super Bowl, because this is going to be an all Super Bowl show. But shout out to Lane Kiffin, who's already in Boca Raton, cucking all of the student body at FAU and, like, out at the club with, like, 22-year-old women.
Yes.
Kings stay kings.
So, on the other side of the ball, the Falcons, how about Julio Jones?
Mm-hmm.
I call him Julio.
I know you do.
How about Julio Jones playing through that terrible, terrible turf toe injury?
Ooh.
I actually think that turf toe, if we're playing hurt or injured, turf toe is absolutely 100% injured. It's like the most brutal injury of all time.
Bigger thing to overcome, the turf toe or Matt Ryan playing through nerves? I don't know if you saw that graphic before the game. It had the injury list. It was Alex Mack, Julio Jones, and then Matt Ryan, Super Bowl nerves.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Absolutely nerves.
Yeah. Is Matt Ryan elite? Jury's still
that's
out.
That's another one.
Jury is still out. It was quite the game, though. I mean, there's nothing really you can say that was the last greatest Super Bowl game ever was probably the Patriots-Seahawks, and now this one surpasses that.
Here's another one. Is the NFC South the new Buffalo Bills?
Mm.
Big losers.
Big losers.
Big losers in the South.
Yes, they don't win Super Bowl.
You know what?
Well, the Saints won one, but yeah.
You know what? Cam Newton could learn a lot about how to handle a loss from Matt Ryan tonight.
True.
You see that?
Ed
Warder stood in his face and said, you must be absolutely crushed and devastated, and your kids are probably going to make fun of you if you have them. and your wife just left you for Mr. Clean. And he was like, yeah, you know, it's a tough loss.
No.
All class,
you,
that guy.
You kind of were joking, but I don't think people realize it's not a joke. Ed Werder actually walked up to Matt Ryan and said, how crushing was this loss? Mm-hmm. That is a big J journal
right
there.
That's great content.
That's a savage, savage question to ask a guy who just blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. It was great. That's why we have those post-game interviews.
Yes.
So you can get that face-to-face content.
We also shout out to the first ever, pardon my take, guest, Chris Long, now a Super Bowl champion.
That's right, Chris. I know you're out there listening.
We're gonna guilt trip him into coming on this week. That's the one silver lining for all the Patriots haters out there. You're gonna get a Super Bowl champion on the show, and a funny one at that. So I'm gonna text him. When do you think it's appropriate? I was gonna text him congrats.
Right now. Did you not text him?
No, I'm gonna text him.
I'm gonna hit him with the we'll do it at the same time.
We'll say congrats, haha, when are you coming on the show?
Haha.
Yeah. We'll throw in a haha so he knows we're joking, but not really.
Also, Julian Edelman. Listener of the show.
Yes.
So we're going to get him on too. I'm just saying that right now. I don't know if it's true.
Milmore, you are a Patriots fan, obviously. Do you want to give us some thoughts?
I almost felt
guilty. All right, so let's get to who's back of the week. Who do we have?
He was also going to go down the I almost feel guilty.
Yeah, I was going to be nice about it.
Fuck you, Milmore.
Yeah. I just want to say that as a Patriots fan, I'm so sorry that we won.
It's unfair. It's unfair.
Oh my God. All right, let's do who's back of the week, because I don't want to listen to that. Okay. Who's back of the week? Who do you have first? PFT, you want to go first?
Yeah. Well, number one, Tiger's back.
Tiger's back is back. If you listen to the show on Friday, we actually discussed that Roy McIlroy said that Tiger is closer to back than people think. Mm-hmm. And then maybe 30 minutes later, he withdrew from the Dubai Open because his back hurt.
After we recorded the show, right?
But he made it clear it's not the old back
but
injury,
he's close,
it's a new one.
New
it's
back
spasms.
Injury. That's right. So totally different and unrelated from the other one.
It's like when Derrick Rose hurts his other knee. It's like, don't worry, guys, it's the other knee.
That's right.
But when, I mean, you just hurt all around.
That's right. Or it's like when Trent Green gets another concussion.
Right.
It's a different part of his brain.
Right,
time.
Exactly.
So I
frontal
have
frontal lobe.
That's right. I've got Tiger's back is back, and I also have Spuds McKenzie.
Oh.
Fuck yeah, Spuds McKenzie.
Was he on
back.
A commercial?
Yeah, he was Ghost Spuds.
I miss like all the commercials this year. But
anytime you can get an animal drinking beer, I am there for it.
Yeah, I agree. And that's an awesome dog. Do you think it's the original Spuds? Just say yes.
It definitely is.
Okay, yeah.
It's like that
25 years
it's
old
like
now.
That Life of a Dog movie. It's
okay,
like, yeah, totally
so
fine.
Spuds, good to see that Spuds is 25 and still mm-hmm. kicking.
Oh, I tweeted about this earlier, but I think it merits more discussion. Like, what if Michael Vick was watching that and he realized that dogs can come back from the dead and become ghosts?
Good.
Like, Michael Vick probably watched the rest of that game from the street. He sold his house.
Well, I was going to say, if he thinks that dogs can come back, he probably is going to then come back because he needs to get a paycheck so he can fund the house to have them fight each other again.
Right. If he thinks that dogs can come back from the dead and have nine lives.
Some good fights that they can redo.
That just multiplied his potential lifetime earnings times nine.
Right. Milmore, who you got?
I have Patrick McGillicuddy, the kid who shows up at the Pats parades with a sign that says, I think now he's going to be 15 years old with 10 parades.
Yeah, so there's – all right, so for anyone who doesn't know what Milmore's talking about, a brief explanation. Our office, obviously, Dave Portnoy, you know, started this company. He's a diehard Patriots fan. He's been rubbing in all of our faces nonstop. Kevin Clancy, who's a diehard Jets fan, has had to live through all this torture. And there is this one kid. He goes to every single parade, and he has a sign, and he just updates it. And he says, I'm this old, and I've seen this many parades. And Kevin has made – his name's not Patrick McGillicuddy, but that's what Kevin has decided his name is. And so he's adding another sticker on there.
Yeah.
And it's just – he just owns Kevin.
Grow up before our eyes.
Kevin has never – Kevin is a Mets, Jets, Islanders, Knicks fan. Mm. He's never once seen a parade, and this kid every single year is just like, I'm 15, I've seen 15 parades or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, but he's also seen like 20 Marky Mark movies. So.
Yeah, and three Aaron Hernandez murders. Yeah. So.
See Marky Mark left early.
We're all witnesses. Oh, yeah, we're getting to that. Okay, yeah, okay. We'll get that. Way to step on the show.
If we were all witnesses, if we were all witnesses to Aaron Hernandez crimes, we'd also all be dead by now.
Yes, true.
That's how he works.
I have, for my who's back, I have two of them. One is Wisconsin running backs. Okay. So they always were busts.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ron Dane,
Michael Bennett, Monty Ball, Anthony Davis, Brian Calhoun. The list goes on and on. But no, not anymore. James White. He has restored the tradition of Wisconsin running backs. Turns out that
he restored it, or he just made it.
He made it good in the NFL.
Okay, he made it.
Because what happens
is
the Wisconsin running backs usually just run behind huge white dudes that are really awesome, all college.
Watch out, they're really racist.
And then they come to the NFL and they're not good anymore.
Yeah.
So, but James White, unbelievable Super Bowl. I think he should have been Super Bowl MVP. I'm just gonna say it again.
Okay, let's get that going.
And then my other who's back of the week, Roger Goodell.
Yeah, what a classy move by Roger, huh?
Yes.
Just handing the trophy over, just taking his medicine. What a good guy.
That was an unbelievable moment. The boos that were rained down on Roger Goodell, mm-hmm. that was a Gary Bettman moment.
They booed Jesus, too.
And that is the turning point, though, because it was always, obviously, an entire, you know, vendetta from the Patriots fans and Tom Brady and the Crafts versus Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell took all his medicine tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He stood up there.
He overdosed on his medicine.
Yeah. I think he's back. I think it's now fair's fair. It's all clean.
Here's what they do. They need to make a fun little laugh at myself commercial with Roger Goodell.
Yes.
Like saying, hey, I kind of screwed on that. It looks like they really deflated my ego, like something funny like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. By the way, I think he was in his car before Terry Bradshaw even got the mic. If you noticed, he got booed for about 10 straight seconds. He said, congrats to the Patriots for winning a Super Bowl, and then poof, he was gone.
He handed the trophy, and he stepped off stage. You didn't see this on TV, but there was a helicopter on the field that he just got into, and it took off.
He actually jumped into that death hole that Lady Gaga went into.
I was going to say he was attached to the wires from the drones and just rappelled up out of the stadium.
I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So Roger Goodell's back. He also, I don't know if you noticed, he gave Brady a little Trump handshake.
Oh, he did the pullback?
Yeah, he did a little bit of the pullback.
I'm going to start doing that handshake. Yeah, it is alpha as fuck.
It is. So Roger Goodell's back. All right, last time of the year, or until whatever, I don't know, summertime, we have Football Guy of the Week. This is sad. Football is done.
Ooh, we didn't even talk about Bob Kraft.
Oh.
Shocker. So Bob Kraft turned over all the prop bets in America by wearing a blue shirt with a white collar.
Yes.
Nobody saw that come. Did we see what the Gatorade was, by the way?
I did not see what the Gatorade was.
So it could have been purple.
Tails never failed except for an overtime.
But we nailed it at the start of the game.
We nailed it at the start.
Bob Kraft, he kind of looks like a ghost too.
Yeah.
I think all NFL owners look like ghosts.
Yeah, they got a little ghost feel
like
to them.
If Arthur Blank is that waiter in the restaurant, then Bob Kraft is a little bit more classy than Arthur. Bob Kraft is like the manager.
I think that's skims
the tips from Arthur Blank.
I think if you're just if you're a rich white guy, you get to a certain point where you have so much money where you just slowly get the soul sucked out of you and you become a living ghost.
Mm-hmm. That's a hot take.
It is a hot take, but I think I nailed it.
Yeah, that's capitalism for you. spooky.
All right, so Football Guy of the Week. First up, I'm happy we're ending Football Guy of the Week with one of our favorites. This is Coach O. He had his big, you know, signing day was last week, so he was on the recruiting road. And someone asked, how were Ed Orgeron's in-home visits with recruits? And he said, I ate 19 gumbos in 1 week.
Is that the correct nomenclature for that? Like 19 gumbos or 19 pots of gumbo? Or
I don't know how many.
19 bowls of gumbo?
I don't think. Coach O doesn't seem like a serving size guy to me. He's not looking at the back of the box being like, all right, I get, you know, a half a cup of Cheerios for breakfast.
Whatever vessel it's in, he's like a husky, like a dog that you instinctually eat until there's no more food.
You
in
need
front
those
of you.
Bowls that are, they look like a maze to make your dog eat a little slower. Yeah. Coach O needs that for his gumbo.
Ooh, this Cuba ham is almost out now. Oh, mama, give me that gumbo. I want your son. He's a five-star recruit. He's going to get after the football. We're going to play Tiger football. Give me some more gumbo.
Go, Tiger.
next up, we have Alex Mack, who played in the Super Bowl with a broken leg.
Alex Mack. That was also Nickelodeon show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Alex Mack. Fun fact about Alex, first name is actually Javon.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's not true.
No, 100% true.
Wow.
Yeah. I told you it was
a fun fact.
You're absolutely floored by it. Yeah, his first name is Javon, unless Wikipedia is playing tricks on me, which has never done before. But yeah, playing on a broken leg, that's an injury that they will kill a horse for, and he strapped it on there and played in the Super Bowl.
Just thought of this, connecting a couple dots, Alex Mack played on a broken foot in a Super Bowl loss, means that he's not going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Terrell Owens,
That's basically seals it.
That
right
was
there,
actually, that was the same injury, that Terrell, it was the fibula. I've broken my fibula before.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Was it as bad as a dog bite?
It was worse than a dog bite.
Okay.
And I toughed it out too. If I had a Super Bowl to play right after I broke mine, I would have done it.
Next up, we have Bill Belichick. This is more just a lifetime achievement award for football guy.
Well, I have a more specific reason to put him on here.
Okay.
The fact that he benched LeGarrette Blount for pretty much the rest of the game after he fumbled.
And I had over 50 yards for LeGarrette Blount because everyone I read Twitter and everyone's like, Bill Belichick, he's gonna run LeGarrette Blount. I actually think that Bill Belichick probably read Twitter and was like, fuck these guys. They think they know what I'm going to do. James White, you're getting the ball 75 times tonight.
Yeah, no, but it is the most football guy move of all time to see, like, a running back have an unlucky fumble and be like, I can't have a running back who fumbles.
Yes.
If I don't trust you out of the game. He did that with that dude, what's his name? He had 3 touchdowns in a game, like, 2 years ago.
Oh, from Notre Dame.
And then he got all too big for his britches and fumbled. Yeah,
that's right.
Belichick
Jonas Gray.
Jonas Gray. There you go.
Jonas Gray, who's never been heard of. Since.
Yeah, he basically sent him to a farm upstate and had him met with a shotgun up there.
Got to go see about. Hey, Jonas, just keep walking. Josh behind the shed.
Josh McDaniels is like, hey, Papa, where'd you put Jonas? Yeah. Where's Jonas? I love Jonas. He's been looked after by some very nice
people. He did
the
old Robert De Niro in Goodfellas. Just keep walking, Jonas. Yeah. Just keep walking. Sit right down there. Yeah. The dress is down there.
Yeah, I love it so much. Like it's saying that you are totally in control of whether or not you can fumble by. Based on how much you want to not fumble.
Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't want it enough, so he got benched.
Our third to last, Meryl Streep, who is now a football gal, because guess what? If you watch that football game, you have to be a football fan. That's actually a law.
Sorry, Meryl. Welcome aboard.
Yeah.
Guess what? You just got forced into being a football fan now.
Get ready to gain about 20 pounds between September and February.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to start a diet tomorrow, right?
Yeah, diet starts tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely. And then start your diet right after the Super Bowl.
Welcome aboard, Meryl.
Our second to last, this is also a lifetime achievement. Well, yeah, it's a lifetime achievement award. I probably phrased that wrong, but go ahead.
So Hunter S. Thompson, his suicide note was called Football Season is Over.
So
he's a that's a football guy move.
Football and football season is over now.
Yeah, football season is over. Now, we're obviously not advocating suicide.
No, stay safe.
Stay safe out there. But what I am advocating is the fact that we should be able to hibernate as humans.
Yeah.
Like, why? That's kind of a big fuck up by God. No offense to God. Shout out God. But, like, the fact that I'm not allowed to just lay down after eating a huge meal and then nap until the weather's better.
Right.
Major oversight on his part. I can understand why people are atheists out there.
Right. I hope to die from natural causes in about 10 to 15 years, and I hope that when that happens, it's in a recliner the Monday after the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Just
don't
give
me an off season.
Maybe the Sunday night when I'm watching Ed Warder ask someone if the Super Bowl is going to put him in a depression because they had a crushing loss.
Yeah.
Our last football guy of the week goes to our regular producer, Hank, who is not here. He decided to go to the Super Bowl
producing
this show while we're slaving away in the hot studio with Millmore. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Millmore for coming in. He's a Patriots fan. He still came in.
Oh, that's weird. So yeah. Hank didn't come in because he's a Patriots fan, right?
Yeah.
But Millmore did. Okay.
But now here's a good thing, though. Because Hank was at the game, we can call him up and get a recap, a live in-person recap of what it was like to watch the Patriots win the Super Bowl.
Let's check it out.
So let's do that. Let's call Hank Football Guy of the Week.
So I guess when Bill Belichick said, do your job, that didn't apply to Hank.
No.
Okay.
Hey, Hank, it's the guys from Part of My Take. Why don't you suck our dicks?
Hey, suck my dick, Hank.
Hey, suck our dicks.
Suck my dick.
Okay, suck our dicks.
My dick, suck it.
All right, that was Hank.
Hank's such a cuck.
From Part of My Take.
What a cuck. All right, that was great.
All right, now let's go to our Jim Rome interview.
Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a great difference, so it's important to know where your food comes from. I've used Blue Apron. I get the food sent to my door. I cook up delicious meals. It's healthier than I normally eat. It makes me feel better. And it's affordable. For less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. They've got a variety of new recipes each week, or you can let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. Recipes are not repeated within a year, so you're never going to get bored. And each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card, and pre-portioned ingredients can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. And best of all, it's guaranteed. Every ingredient is going to arrive ready to cook, or they'll make it right. So check out this week's menu. Get your first 3 meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/pardon. That's blueapron.com/pardon. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. There's a lot of change and uncertainty in the country right now. And when it comes to your retirement portfolio and life savings, you don't want it all sitting in the stock market. You want to diversify it. Do what I did and look into richuncles.com. Rich Uncles is a REIT, a real estate investment trust. They own commercial property, they collect rent from the best creditworthy tenants, and then pay you a monthly cash dividend, which is currently a 7% annualized dividend. Rich Uncles is ideal for IRAs and a great way to diversify your investment portfolio to add steady income. RichUncles.com was recently featured in the Wall Street Journal. You can see that article and all the information you need to make an informed decision at RichUncles.com. Like any investment, it has risks, and it's not guaranteed. RichUncles REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. Go to RichUncles.com. That's RichUncles.com. Or call 855-RICH-UNCLES. And let RichUncles know that you heard about them on Pardon My Take.
RichUncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $15,000 by RichUncles for this single message.
All right, we now welcome on to the jungle Jim Rome.
Our jungle.
We are still outside the Super Bowl media hole, whatever's going on. We've got banned. We're on the street, so if you hear some noise behind us, that is why. This is a true jungle.
Outside sucks, bros.
Outside
sun. Sucks.
You get some sun, some guerrilla journalism.
That's right.
All right, let's start. I'm going to start with actually a hard question. This is something I've always wondered. Jim Rome, the name Jim Rome. Do you think, how much do you think that is involved in your success? If you were like Jim Phillips, or like Jim Stewart, something that just doesn't roll off, you think you'd be where you are today?
Dude, that's a really hard question. Why are you starting me off like that?
I know,
man?
I told you. I'm
going to say probably without that name. Obviously, it's not about my takes. It's not about my point of view.
Right.
Can't do an interview with a damn.
Right.
Don't look that good.
Right.
Never played the game.
Right.
Don't have a very good voice.
You have a great goatee.
Dude, it's average goatee.
Hey, wait! I
average
see what
goatee.
You're doing right now. Don't be
dude,
self-deprecating.
Dude,
we're gonna
it's 100% the name. Obviously,
okay.
It's 100% the name.
Seriously though, like Jeremy Shockey, he wasn't that good of a tight end.
He was a pretty
but
good
the
tight
name,
end.
The name was something special.
It's a kick-ass name.
Matty Mock, Missouri.
Yeah, but dude,
awful quarterback.
These are all good names. Jim Rome's not that great a name.
I think it's a good name.
It's
I think
not that great
I
a name.
Think you're selling yourself
by the way,
short.
It's my real name too. I did not make that up.
Oh,
it's not like
wow, we didn't even ask that.
Name.
Sounds like you're getting a little defensive about that already.
Something? No.
Huh.
No,
okay, we'll
no,
dig into that.
No,
LexisNexis. We got a subscription.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's 100% the reason for my success.
By the way, here comes a helicopter that's bothered us every single day this week.
That's Goodell's black helicopter that's been following us around.
Yeah.
Which
you know you guys can move, right? You don't have to be right here.
No. Which commissioner do you think has done a worse job, Roger Goodell or David Stern when he got into that beef with you?
Yeah, that's going to be a tough call. David Stern.
Yeah.
David Stern. Yeah, Stern was not happy with me that day. He was not happy with me asking him something that I've probably asked him 20 times before.
Frozen envelope.
Yeah, I mean...
Derrick Rose was... I mean, that was obviously planted. The Bulls getting the number one pick that year.
I just asked the question that a lot of people are thinking, hey, is there any way that whole Patrick Ewing thing that maybe the fix was in? I mean, I'm not kidding you when I say that. I asked that guy that question 10 or 15 times over the years, never even blinked, and then that day he just snapped. So I don't know if dude was having a bad day or what
the
deal was.
What's your take on that?
My take is I don't know for certain, which is why I asked the question.
Okay, but what's your take?
Hey, look, I like a conspiracy theory as much as the next guy.
Yeah.
Connect the
dots. How about this? Everything in the history of the world is fixed. Every game is fixed.
Ooh, okay.
Everything's fixed.
The
allegedly.
Bible is fixed.
Okay, allegedly.
Yeah, all Jesus was shaving points.
No, I didn't say that, bro. That's on you, man. You can own that.
Well, you said the whole world, so Jesus was part of the whole world.
I said
last
every game. Yeah, okay, you're right.
Okay,
every
all right.
game. I'm going to stick to games.
I got a good question for you.
Yeah, are we clear about that, though? It's Stern. If you're asking me which one's worse, it's Stern.
Okay, got it.
You actually
right
believe
in
that.
Stone.
Oh, you know I believe that.
Really?
Yes.
Even though Roger Goodell is.
Dude, I know you guys got. I know you guys got a bone to pick with him because you're out here on the sidewalk.
No,
but my deal is with Stern.
What did David Stern do that was so bad as a commissioner?
Well, that interview with me for one.
Right. Besides that, though.
That's about it.
Okay. That's it.
All right.
That's fair.
It.
That's fair.
You know
yeah.
What else is there?
You know what? I'm on
you're
your
asking
side
me
now.
My
as
opinion.
You admit it, as long as you admit it, I'm on your side.
Okay.
Okay. So, here's
there's that helicopter again.
Here's the thing about your career. You have been a lone wolf. You've hosted a show by yourself for a long time. Are you afraid to do debate shows? Are you afraid that someone else's takes are better than yours?
I'm sure somebody else's takes are better than mine somewhere. I've done a debate show, actually, way back in the day. when I went to Fox Sports Net, they actually set me up on a debate show. I don't know if you guys know this. It didn't last very long. So I'm in California, and they say, we're going to find you a partner. Mm-hmm. And I'm waiting. And then they say to me one day, we found your partner. I said, who is it? They said, Wallace Matthews. And I said, great. I love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. We covered boxing together. I know what he's about. So they stuck him in a studio in New York. They stuck me in a studio in California. And we debated every single day for about, I don't know, 6 weeks, 9 weeks, 12 mm-hmm. weeks. And so I did that thing. And then all of a sudden, one day, he went away, and I was still there. So I've actually done it before.
So you didn't really answer the question. Are you afraid of Skip Bayless?
No, man. In fact, I saw Skip Bayless the other day.
Yeah?
So I'm in the gym working out, and there's Skip. And Skip and I actually, I haven't talked to him in a number of years, but he used to host my show back mm-hmm. when I needed a guest host. He used to come on my TV show, so I know Skip. So, no, I am not afraid of Skip. He and I chopped it up for about 20 minutes.
Not afraid of him.
No,
all right.
No.
Throwing down the gauntlet.
No, not afraid. Not,
who
not
benches af- more?
Who what?
Who benches more, you or Skip?
Skip, probably.
Does Skip, yeah. wear, Skip he probably. Wears gloves, though, in the gym, right?
He did. I think he did have gloves
that's
on,
a,
actually.
But he, a pussy move.
Yeah, it's a big P-word move. He sticks to the bench press machine. He doesn't even use free weights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Can't get the full
Can't get the stabilizer there. Muscles in there.
All right, so this is a real question, because we have a lot of fake questions, but this is a real one. So you are a lone wolf. How much prep work goes into every single show? Because it seems like that must be very tough, because you're out there on your own.
I've got a really good crew. You guys know my former producer, Kyle Brandt,
mm-hmm. yes.
who did an unbelievable job. The one thing is, and I figured this out pretty early on, you know, I can only do so much. You guys are going to call bullshit on this. I really do surround myself with really good people. I've always been extremely well produced.
Mm-hmm. So, well, you're surrounded by me and Big Cat right now, so yeah. I'll agree
with
you.
Up until
now,
I've been surrounded by really
Fair
good
enough.
People.
Mm-hmm. Fair
All
enough.
Right. No, but, I mean, look, I'd love to say that I could just sit down and crack open the mic and talk a little junk and interview athletes and it's that easy and I'm not good, but I'm not. And that's not even self-deprecating BS.
Right.
I've been really well produced in TV and radio and always have good guys around me. In terms of how much prep, I mean, the standard day is this. I'm on the air at 9 a.m. I get to my office at 6 a.m. We prep 6 to 9. I do the show
nice.
From 9 to noon. And then we prep after the show, and then I go home, work out, hang out with the family, and I do some more prep at night. And then everybody okay. who works for me has the same schedule.
Okay.
All right. That's fair. So you obviously are no stranger to controversy. You've been involved in a few. When a controversy hits, do you know it, like, instantly? Do you know, like, okay, I just said something that's going to get me in trouble. I said something that is going to reach outside of my usual audience.
I had a pretty good idea when the quarterback came over the table that was not a good thing.
Yes.
And that might have resonated with a few people.
Stay woke. That was all staged.
It was, definitely.
Yeah,
ratings
I mean,
grab.
Yeah, I can honestly tell you that's not what that was.
Okay.
People
okay.
definitely think that, but no, that's not what that was.
Okay.
I knew the second that went down, that probably was not going to be a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was another controversy recently that I could have never seen coming.
The band. Yeah.
Exactly. The band.
I stand with you on that. Those band geeks are the worst.
You want to explain what happens to the people that might not be familiar?
You know, I think that one night I was just, and let it be a lesson, like, I'm trained to think about what I say before I say it,
right.
and I do.
That's your first mistake.
Yeah.
You just got to let the takes flow through you.
Well, yeah. I did that for a long time, you know, and hey, it's going pretty well for you guys. So I'm on Twitter one night during a game, and I'm just kind of going. You know, you guys know this. If you tweet in games, that's usually a pretty good way to build that brand. And I'm just going. And during a big bowl game, I said, hey, they're the dorks in the band.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think anything of it. Just a throwaway line. I wake up the next morning, and trending on Twitter is March on Rome.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, man, this does not feel good. And I started clicking on the mentions, and people were really unhappy, really, really angry because I, quote, took a run at the band. And what the take was is he's bullying them. He's a bully.
Okay.
And if you're looking at Jim Rome, 5'9", $160, I'm not really intimidating a lot of people at all.
Yeah.
And that was not my intent. But they mobilized quickly. And it went sideways on me quickly. So that was one I did not see coming.
That's a good defense.
They are. Yeah. They're dorks. They're
well,
nerds.
Yeah. Okay, drummers. Drummers are in band. You're saying Keith Moon is a nerd? Is that what you're saying?
Keith Moon
is
rules,
this guy's
dude.
Playing
yeah.
trumpet
I'm a big Who dude. So Keith Moon's great.
Yeah.
This guy's playing trumpet now. He knows that we're
so the band.
The band.
We've angered
they're
the
taunting
band.
Me now. They're mocking
yeah,
me, right?
They're taunting you. All right, so that one. Now, do you think that one has more? Because obviously your career has gone through, you know, all the years in terms of social media has now become a huge thing. You know, 20 years ago it wasn't. Do you think that controversy was specifically unique to social media and people being outraged all the time? Like, if you say that on air in 1998, do you think you get any backlash?
No. Yeah. I don't think so. But, hey, look, I take very seriously that people took that very badly. And that was not my intent at all, obviously. But listen, the world is so different. There are certain things that when I had a TV show every single day and a radio show every single day, there were certain things I could say on radio that I couldn't say on TV that would come off the same way.
Right.
Now there's certain things that you cannot tweet that you can say on the radio or on your show that would come off differently.
Give me a good example of something that you can't tweet.
I mean, there's a lot of things that I can't tweet.
A dark thought you have that you haven't been able to tweet that you want to get off your chest.
I mean, nothing. The good thing is I can pretty much say what I want. I'm just saying, you can say that. How about this? You can say the same thing in different platforms, and it's more dangerous to say that same thing on Twitter than it is perhaps on radio, because there's a multiplier effect,
inflection,
right?
Inflection, tone, all that stuff.
There's
gets
no context
lost on Twitter,
and it gets pushed out so quickly.
Yep.
And it's a snowball, and it gathers momentum. And you say it on the radio or on, you know, maybe this show or something else, maybe. It just kind of floats out there. It's in the ether. Mm-hmm. But if it's on Twitter, man, look the hell out. It starts rolling downhill, and there's no way to reverse it.
Mm-hmm. So does that made you kind of gun-shy on Twitter?
Not gun-shy, but careful.
Okay.
Careful.
It sounds like you're gun-shy.
Dude, you saw what happened when I had a throwaway line about the band.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, let's not kid ourselves. You know, you make enough of those mistakes, and all of a sudden, you might not have a gig anymore.
Right. It's tough to do smack talk on Twitter.
Here's the thing, man, it can come across
the wrong way.
You're right.
So you are famous for the smack talk competitions. What advice?
Smack off.
What advice do you have for me? I pride myself on being a pretty good smack talker.
Right.
What advice would you have for me if I want to get in the bracket next year and dominate?
Just come in and talk a lot of crap. Talk a lot of shit. Talk some sports. Do that. Because what's happened on that show is these guys now, instead of talking sports, they just take runs at each other.
Right.
They attack each other, which is, it's always good sport. You know, they like that clone-on-clone crime.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you got to mix it up a little bit. If you can get an actual sports take in there, that would help.
Why don't the clones worry about policing the violence in their own communities first?
Yeah.
Right? It all starts at home, right?
Right, exactly.
It all starts at home. You're right. You're right, man. Why don't you come in and talk some sense to them? They obviously don't care what I think.
Yeah.
I like that, man.
Right.
Like
what
that.
Is...
Let me try that.
So, okay. So you are gun shy on Twitter, like you just said. That's a quote.
Not gun. That's not a quote. Not okay. Gun shy. Careful on Twitter.
Okay.
You're a pussy on Twitter. You said that. Your words, not mine.
Don't be a pee. That's fine. No, that's fine. What is a take that you are working
Twat's
on?
Twat's probably better.
Yeah, there you go.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That you're working on, like a hot take you're thinking about.
Dude,
like,
I don't hot take.
You don't?
Okay, I don't hot take.
Your name was literally Rome is burning.
It wasn't Rome is hot taking.
True.
Okay, all right.
No, I'm not. I mean, what's hot take? A hot take is somebody who's just throwing some crap up against the wall. They don't believe it. They're sitting around like, what can I say? What's going to get the greatest effect? What's going to get the greatest reaction? I don't believe this. I don't care about this, but I'm going to say it, man. Straight fire. It's a hot take. I don't do that, man. I literally believe it. I say what I mean. I mean what I say. You know, I'm not looking for that effect.
Are you taking shots at Skip Bayless? Is that what that was?
No, man.
Let's get that back. Let's get that going.
Fair,
no,
that's
no.
Throwing down
no,
the gauntlet.
No,
twice in the
no,
same
no,
interview.
I'm going to have your back
no,
here because
no,
I...
No, for the record, I have no problem with Skip Bayless.
Yeah. Okay. Except for the gloves in the gym.
No. That's your issue with him.
That is my issue.
Do not project onto me, bro.
You need to start
and you just, you've never done a debate show against him, so. Besides that.
Nobody's ever offered... No. The answer is no.
I agree with you, though.
No, if somebody were to say to me, hey, you want to debate him? And we'll pay you a hell of a lot of money, I might do that.
Ooh, okay. Oh, so you're open to the possibility.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But I'm not looking
oh,
for it.
How much would it take?
How much you got?
We can do a Kickstarter.
$100 million, Floyd Mayweather.
You got 100 mil?
Yeah.
Put it down right there on the sidewalk. Let me see it.
How much time do I got to get it?
Related question. How much money would it take for you to shave your goatee?
Dude, I'd do it for free.
Ooh.
But you know, the honest answer on the goatee, I tried to take that thing down a long time ago. The wife likes the goatee.
Ah, she likes a little tickle.
She like that. Whatever
like
she
that.
Gets out of it, she
bad
likes
girl.
It.
All right.
Happy wife,
it.
Happy life. I would, dude, there's a little maintenance to the goatee. I would have taken that thing down a long time ago.
I don't even know if I'd recognize you without the goatee.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, right?
Crazy.
Younger, better looking. Takes would be better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then I got the name and the clean grill.
You actually should, you know what? When you feel like you're getting a little stale, get
that's
to the millennial
it,
audience.
You know what it's like?
Yeah,
I know where you're going with that.
Bleach blonde the goatee.
Dude, like Kiss, man. Take the makeup off.
Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
Just like bleach blonde the outside
I don't know,
of the
I don't know that I could pull the blonde lettuce or the blonde face lettuce.
Jim Rome is rebirth.
That'd be out of bounds.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. If Kiss took the makeup off to change up and they put it back on and it worked, why not?
I want to talk to you quickly. I love horse racing. You are a horse owner. I actually bumped into you at the Breeders' Cup 3 years ago. It's okay. You didn't pay any attention to me because I was just a peon. I think I was. I think I had a trumpet in my hand.
Dude, I don't do that, man.
No, I'm just kidding. I
take that stuff
far.
Seriously. That's
I know,
why I
no,
push
that's
back.
That's true. That's actually fair. Because that happens to us from time to time. I'd be like, oh, he was a dick to us in person. Like, I didn't even meet you. But no, I saw you in the winner's circle. It was 3 years ago. What was it?
Misdirection. Misdirection.
Santa Anita, yeah. All right.
My man.
So, two questions about the horse racing. One, you're a horse owner. You love horse racing, but you're not a degenerate gambler. How does that work?
In a way, I'm not the kind of degenerate gambler that you guys are.
Right.
But I'm a degenerate gambler in that I'll buy a horse that I know nothing about, that I've not seen, that was advised. I was advised to buy something I haven't even met.
Right.
That's a degenerate gambler,
yeah.
Right?
It's like a mail-order horse.
Yeah.
Kind of like fair. That, man. Yeah. Except it costs a hell of a lot more, and they don't talk, and you can't ask them questions.
Mm. So no alimony, though.
Like, I don't play crazy exotics. I don't bet that. I made my bet when I bought the horse.
Right. So but you don't even gamble when you
I
go
do,
to,
I do, I do, but do I'm not, but I'm
bit,
not,
yeah, not crazy.
Yeah, but like I got an 11-year-old kid who knows more about gambling than I do.
Right.
Like the kid's playing the exotics already, and I'm like, hey, son, what did you
That's
just do there?
That's a good kid. That's
yeah, kid sounds kid, cool
you
as hell.
Like him. Yeah, you would like him.
So I always just assume that, you know, people who, I mean, because it's myself, if you're a horse gambler, you probably gamble on all sports and you have a problem, like
no.
myself.
No.
No,
you've
been able to keep your nose clean
you?
On that.
Yeah,
no, I have a problem.
No, for whatever reason, I'm not. I never, like, I probably know more about football than. Then I know about other things. Don't play it, man.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl? We're going to air this after the Super Bowl, so you better be right.
Yeah, exactly. Can right.
Score.
Let's shoot two different versions thereof. Right.
Okay. All right. We got you. And then
no. I'm going to say that I badly want to take the Falcons. I badly want to take the Falcons, but I can't go against the Patriots. Mm.
That's I'm taking not, Falcons not on this the points.
Stage. That's fair.
Yeah, Falcons is the points, big time.
How many points?
Six, right?
What? No, it's three.
It's three.
Three?
Yeah,
it's three. Oh shit! Well, I might want to reconsider that.
That's why you're taking six.
Yeah. Wait, I had one
Dude,
other.
If you can get six, get them.
Yeah, get six. I had one other horse question. Do you get into like the horse breeding stuff?
All right, so we have one horse that we're breeding.
Okay,
sweet.
So I go back to Kentucky, and they're taking me through the process. The first time we did this, and they're like, "That's where it all goes down right there.
Nice.
That breeding shed.
Nice.
We've got one coming in. You want to see this?" I'm like, oh, hell no, I don't want to see that. No, they're laying it out how that goes down. Best job ever, man, right?
Yeah.
You imagine so you didn't
that?
Watch?
Sounds great.
No, I didn't. No,
put
I didn't
the
watch.
Glove on?
I did not watch. Didn't put the glove on, didn't watch. But can I tell you something? As you might imagine, those stallions, they know they're the alphas.
Yes.
They get it on 150 like, times a year. The best ones do it 150 times.
Did you get that
people,
vibe from me when you met me?
No, dude. No, dude. No.
What's your favorite track?
Del Mar.
Okay.
Second favorite track. You've been to
Santa
Keeneland?
Santa Anita. Been to Keeneland.
Love it?
Love Keeneland.
Love Keeneland. Did you
Do
go
you?
To Breeders' Cup 2 years ago there?
Did not go. No.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
No. Did you like it?
Yeah. Loved Keeneland.
How about the New York tracks?
I have.
Saratoga?
I just moved to New York. I have not been to Saratoga.
Okay.
I need to go this year.
So do you like the ponies? Or you
I
just
do.
Like to gamble?
I like to gamble. I like to lose money.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
One of my favorite Jim Rome moments was the Blink-182 What's My Age Again video.
All right.
Yeah, so you're sitting in your studio and the three guys run by butt naked. Who had the biggest hog?
You know what, dude? When they ran by and they're all hanging out like that, I just blocked out. I don't
so
remember anything. I don't remember anything.
Out.
Yes, dude.
Wow.
Yes. So these guys I played, you know, back in the day, I had an engineer that found these guys because they were just kind of coming up, and I started to bump their music, and they remembered it. They liked it. And when they started to sell records, they're like, that guy had our back. We'll put him in the video.
Yeah.
So the way they laid out that thing, you know, much like you guys do this stuff, they're like, we're just going to have some guys pass through the set, one shot. They'll just be wearing kind of skin suits.
Uh-huh.
They did not tell me these dudes were hanging out. So we got a normal work day, women everywhere, and these dudes run across the stage hanging out. Women were screaming. I think I blacked out.
Yeah.
And that was that, so I don't remember.
That sounds illegal.
I can't answer your question.
Yeah. Sounds like you opened yourself up to a real lawsuit on that one.
Not me, man. I didn't know.
Nah, all right,
me.
You've been gracious.
Dude, you could do stuff back then that you cannot do now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true.
Just show a girl your dick.
Yeah.
You can't do that anymore.
Can't do that. Make fun of nerds.
Mm-hmm.
No, can't do that now.
Neither one of those
things,
man.
A lot of snowflakes out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, you ever try to show a girl
cucks.
Your dick on Twitter? Doesn't end well.
Nope.
They take it all out of context.
All right, we have...
Bro, you got to stop doing that.
We have four final questions we ask everyone.
Let's do it.
All right, so the first one is a game we play with every single one of our guests. It's called Rome on Rome, and PFT does a really good Rome impression.
Let me just check that real quick. Every one of your
yeah,
guests, you
yeah,
play that game
yeah,
with.
Yeah, you should see Mike mm-hmm. Singletary earlier today.
Okay.
He played Rome
he
on Rome.
He did a pretty good
really
Rome impression, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so it's a debate show, even though you don't debate because you're scared of Skip Bayless.
I mean, I can deny it again if you want. I can only say 10 times that that's not true.
All right, yes. Yeah. We know,
okay,
we know.
All right. If, yeah.
The lady doth protest too much.
You are wearing sunglasses, so we can't see your eyes. Rome on Rome. I'm going to do, let's say, LeBron versus MJ. Debate it. Rome on Rome now.
Come again?
Great question. It's a hot question. Thanks for the vine. Couple clones calling in asking who's better, LeBron, Michael Jordan. LeBron is a fraud. He's a hot fraud. Michael Jordan's all that. He's an all that guy. Get you 32, 11, 6, bank it. More importantly, clutch gene.
I'll tell you what, dude. I've seen a lot of Rome impressions because pretty much everyone has one. I'm going to give you maybe a 2 for that.
Oh!
A 2, bro.
I thought he nailed it.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Dude, I've heard every
That's
Roman
out of bounds.
Dude, maybe a
Going
2.
Going in the jungle with that crap. Dude. Cut that guy's vine. Cut his vine. Got some faxes coming in later.
Dude, we don't cut vines. We run, guys. But
run them. Rack them.
Maybe a 1.5.
Hey,
a half, dude.
Rack them.
Oh, you're going
the longer
down
you, dude, the longer you go, the worse it gets, man. Come on, man.
Oh, man.
Dude, don't come on and do an impression
no,
like
notice
that.
Notice that he didn't actually debate
me like
meaning,
that.
Meaning I won the debate. You couldn't counter my argument.
I was so blown away by that amazing impression, dude.
I thought it was pretty good.
Wow, dude.
I thought it was good.
All right, you're a good sport for playing Rome on Rome.
Sorry for bullying you.
I love that game. I love that game.
Yeah, we play with everyone.
I love that game, man. That's good, man.
All right.
Do I get paid on that game?
No.
You should chip me off, man. Just, come on, man.
Give me a little taste. Wet the beak.
Give me a little taste. Wet the beak. Okay.
All right. Third last 1-9,
question. 1-9, dude. Like your GPA. 1-9, man.
Headline grab.
Yeah.
Ever thought about going back to ESPN?
No.
But maybe what if they
throw a lot
they
of money at you?
No,
yeah.
No,
they're,
no,
hey,
I'm good.
They just paid
no,
Mike Greenberg like $6 million signing bonus.
Hey,
like,
good for him.
They can throw you some money.
Good for him, man. Good for him. No, man, I like CBS. CBS is a really good place
but
to work.
ESPN,
no, but.
ESPN gives you $20 million tomorrow. Dude, what do you say?
Yeah. Turn
dude,
that down.
If they gave me $20 million tomorrow.
Yeah.
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 Oh, okay. All right. Jim Rome considering going back to ESPN.
There you go. Hot headlines. No. 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 I have not. The answer to the question is no. I have not thought about going back to ESPN.
Until just now.
I am happy.
When you said you do
it. No. No. Stop with that hypothetical bullshit, man. Nobody's offering me $20 million to do anything.
You never know. Not with that attitude.
Yeah, but that attitude is what you have right now, man. So you're going to get some money.
All right. The second to last question.
Attitude.
Most famous person on your cell phone.
Most famous person on my cell phone.
Yes.
All right, let me think for a second. All right, I don't know about you dudes. I have trouble getting digits from people for whatever reason.
Uh-huh.
All right, how about this guy? I know a guy.
No game.
What's that?
You don't have game? Can't number close?
People don't like me, man.
I'm a pickup artist, reason. So I learned some,
I like
I learned
you.
Some
hey,
terms.
I'm actually going to say this right now.
You didn't like me until I sat here.
No,
no.
We've actually been a little bit harder on you than I think a lot of our interviews, and you've taken all of
yes.
it. Yes. And I'm going to give you like
1.9.
2.9.
Let the cat talk, man.
No,
2.9.
No, I actually, I've been...
out of 3, probably.
It's hard to when we get in this mode, when we start bouncing back and forth, and you've held your own and then some. So I'm going to give
dudes,
you credit for that.
Dudes, I respect where you guys are coming from. I respect what you're doing. And although I'm not going to say I was you guys before yous was you guys, but I was coming up, and I had a plan, and I worked my plan, and you got to get after it now.
Yeah,
I've done this a long time, and I've taken lots of runs at lots of people, so I am the last guy ever to cry or be a pee about somebody taking a run at
pussy.
Me.
Yeah, well, you can say it. It's
nah,
a podcast.
Dude,
it's,
you
didn't
pee by not saying.
Oh,
nah,
quick,
man.
Quick, plug your podcast.
Oh.
You there the you go. A little
game?
Olive branch to
you.
You
in the podcast
that's
game
that's
now?
Really big of you guys.
You want to go, you wanna go
yeah,
at us?
Yeah.
Mano y mano.
Think you can handle it? Podcast Wars.
Where are you guys right now?
Let's
do you know that I pissed
number
my
one.
Pants in front of Mark Schlereth a month ago? You ready to do that?
How'd that go, man?
It went well. We
I put a plastic
you,
bag
you,
over my head and suffocated myself.
Yeah. Well, no, we haven't got George
Not
Brett
yet,
on yet,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did we start? What was the original thing? Oh, the phone game.
Yeah. Who's the famous person in your phone?
All right, so here's what I got. All right, so here we are. Here we are at the Super Bowl. You guys kind
of,
like you're on the outside looking in. But I know a guy who won 4 rings. And should have 5.
Ooh.
Who's in my phone.
Ooh.
How's okay. that?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Man, dude, you know everything about sports. Who am I talking about? He's got 4. He should have 5. He's in my phone.
Adam Vinatieri.
Joe Montana.
2 good guesses. Both incorrect. Crazy Bill Romanowski.
Oh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Let's give Romo a call.
Let's,
yeah,
let's call Romo.
Call him
let's
up.
Call Romo.
Let's call Romo.
Yes.
Let's call Romo.
Right, so how's this work?
I want to have Romo as a guest for
call
forever.
Him call him on speakerphone and put it up to the mic, and we'll just yell at him.
Let's see.
Just locker room talk.
I hope dude picks it up, first of all.
Is he a big locker room talk guy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, he's scary.
Just guys being dudes,
just
spitting some profanities at each other and grabbing each other.
Romo's scary, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Hey, you know Lenny Dykstra?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's crazy.
Great guy.
He's one of our best guests.
Ethical
you like
dude.
Him? You like him?
No, we hate him.
Yeah.
Who we call him? We prank call him all the time.
Oh, dude. Lenny's wild.
Yeah,
dude.
He's wild.
Yeah, he came on my TV show. I wish I could F-bomb. I could give you the F-bomb that he dropped on me.
Hey, by the way, do you remember having our boss on your TV show?
Sure do.
He had the famous line, last gun in the bullet. The worst line ever. He just like froze up on TV. He's like, it's the last gun in the bullet, so to speak. It's a famous clip.
Just water off the cherry on the
cake.
You
never invited him back. I wonder why.
No, he was so funny. He was great. He came on. No, I like the guy, but he came on. He's like, hey, man, I got to tell you, every time I go on somebody's TV show, they never invite me back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He told me that.
Interesting.
Yeah. Man, my man owns horses. You know I like that.
Yeah, he does.
All right,
yeah.
Let's see. Ready? Let me get a speakerphone.
All right, Romo.
That's Chaz Batch right there. Charlie Batch.
Charlie, it's your favorite
Charlie,
podcast.
You're the best. Love you, man.
Okay, just had recurring guest Charles Batch.
Come on, Romo, pick up, man.
Oh. All right.
Okay, we tried.
You know what, though? A lot of people don't even call, so you get credit for that.
You were not
a By the way, I don't know if you just saw, but we just had your show just got bumped. We just had Chaz Batch on this show. For like 2 seconds.
Wow, dude. That's got superseded.
Awesome.
Oh, you know what happened? You got cucked by Charles Batch.
Yeah, he's a legend.
That'll happen,
big
man.
Big cuck.
That'll happen, dude. Know your place.
Yep.
Know your place.
Last question I'm going to ask that you don't have to answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. You know what? I'm not going to ask one because we went hard. We went hard in the paint with Jim Rome here for the last 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. We brought it.
Damn, 20 minutes, man. That went fast, dude.
You held your own the whole time. So I'm going to – you not only held your own – but you tried to call Bill Romanowski, so I'm just going to say you crushed it.
Yeah.
You crushed it.
Good job.
And dude, say something mean about Kyle Brandt. No, I love Brandt.
Say something
I love Brandt. No, man, I love Brandt. Kyle Brandt. He's one of the most talented dudes I know.
Yeah, bad breath.
You guys don't like him?
Bad breath. I love him. He's a good friend.
We're big Kyle Brandt guys.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
We had 20 correct answers on his 20 questions.
How'd that go for you guys?
Oh, pretty good. We nailed it all.
Yeah,
I think we're the all-time record.
I think you guys got him that gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to brag, but yeah, he probably owes us 10%.
Yeah, you actually probably will. ESPN will probably come calling now.
Yeah.
With $20 million bucks, probably.
Yeah.
Private jet. How about a private jet?
G5? Do you have any questions for us on like how to do a good podcast?
No, not at all, man. All
right.
What can I possibly glean from you guys?
I don't know.
We're glad to help. I don't know. Maybe a couple of higher
I'll play along, fellas. Right. Okay. What's the secret to a killer podcast?
It's always tell people that you're about to ask them a really good question before you ask them a question. Say, here's a really good question. Yeah. So you implant that in them, and they're like, damn, that was a good question.
Yeah, but what if it's not? What if the question
sucks?
They
don't care. People are so dumb.
You Jedi mind tricked them?
Yeah, like, people are so dumb that they're like, that was a great question.
Here's the second tip. Always tell your guest they did a great job and they held their own, even if they didn't.
Ooh, also more Hitler references.
Like that.
People love it when you mention Hitler.
All right, bro.
Jim Rome, we really appreciate it. You have been.
I wish I had said that I could appreciate it as much
as
that.
No, I've had fun. We've all had
fun. I'm glad we're not inside. I like being out here in the sun. It's cool.
You know what? These are the podcasts, though, that keep us all sharp. The three of us, we were sharp guys. We need to stay sharp.
Yeah.
It's iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Game recognizes game.
Iron sharpens
three
iron.
Alphas
smack recognizes smack.
I wish.
Right.
Dude, don't mock me with me right here. Dude, I wish that I had known what you said before I sat down, because I would have said to you guys, I am going to be an awesome interview. Okay, here comes an awesome interview. Just put that in your mind, right?
Yeah, that was an awesome interview.
Yeah,
great job.
Fellas, I've been around this a long time. You picked the five best minutes. Don't pick 5 minutes that are going to make me look bad.
No.
Pick the five best minutes,
We're going to cut the part where...
I've got your word, right?
We're going to cut the part where
he called Skip Bayless a pussy and that you were going to kick his ass.
Never said it.
His gloves
didn't care about the gloves. Got no problems with him.
His dumb haircut.
I want to go back to ESPN.
His face with a weird Botox in it. Yeah, we'll cut all
about that.
I still can't. I'm still starstruck from Chaz Batch.
Yeah.
Dude, that was pretty awesome.
He was a great guest.
That was pretty awesome.
You
want to
talk about a good interview?
How'd you guys book him? That's incredible.
Yeah, I don't know. Just like, you know, Hank does a great job.
Yeah. I saw the way he looked at you guys, man. That was real.
Mm-hmm. Our producer right here.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Good job, dude.
All right. Jim Rome, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, man. We're done.
That interview was brought to you by Me Undies. Has Valentine's got you stumped? Forget the cliches and give a gift that looks great, feels great, and will make everyone happy. Me Undies. I wear Me Undies every single day. I'm not joking. I wear them every single day. They gave us a bunch last summer, and they're my only rotation of underwear. Me Undies are the perfect gift for you and your Valentine's this holiday. They're unbelievably soft and come in limited edition prints. They actually sent me the ones with roses. Did you get those, PFT? You get your roses?
They're really nice. Thanks.
They're really nice. We PFT and I have matching underwear now because of Me Undies. And they have a special limited edition Valentine's undies, so you can get them right now. And here's the offer. They offer free shipping, and for a limited time, listeners to this podcast, get 20% off their first order. But you have to go to MeUndies.com/take with the MeUndies Better Day Guarantee. You have nothing to lose, so don't wait any longer. Go to MeUndies.com/take right now for 20% off your first order. That's MeUndies.com/take, and get you and your podcast co-host matching underwear. That interview was also brought to you by Movement Watches. MVMT watches are disrupting the watchmaking industry. Kind of like us, we're disrupting the podcast industry, and our partners at MVMT Watches are doing the same for watches. Their watches are sleek, they look great, and they are a very good deal. You're looking at maybe $400, $500 for a new watch. Nope. Not at Movement Watches. They start at just $95. I wear them all the time. I have like 5 Movement watches now, so I get to pick every day and look stylish. Everyone comes up to me and they're like, damn, that watch looks so good. Yep, it does, and it's affordable. And now it's even more affordable. You can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMTwatches.com/PMT. That's MVMTwatches.com/PMT. MVMT watches can also be a perfect gift for your Valentine. So we're making it all affordable for you guys. Go to MVMTwatches.com/PMT. They have female watches, male watches. Everyone listening, go buy a watch. MVMTwatches.com/PMT. Let's do some segments. We're going to probably stay on the Super Bowl here. Actually, I'm looking at them. We're staying fully on the Super Bowl because it was such a great game.
Maybe also, the best game of all time.
Yeah. Ooh. Thanks to Jim Rome, by the way, for sticking it out while we were viciously mean to him.
I'm sure that was the very first interview that Jim's ever done that was anything like that.
Yeah.
And you could tell that it was the first time.
Yeah.
Like he was a little thrown off by us. You know, we
got a little hot.
We got hot with the talk on
him. Yeah, we got a little hot.
But he took it. Rome took it. He was in the hot seat and yeah, he was a good guy.
Also, shout out to now recurring guest Charlie Batch.
Oh, yeah.
For showing up in the middle
great
of the
interview.
Room. Yeah, great interview in the room. Mm-hmm. Little double interview there for you.
Oh, here's a fun fact. I don't know if we're going to use this part. We might put it in our video that's coming out.
I think we will.
Okay, so Andrew Zimmern from Travel Channel,
yeah.
Food Network or whatever, the guy who he does nothing but like eats goat intestines,
mm-hmm.
He walked by in the background, and I was like, hey, Andrew. And he looked at us and go, hey, do you wash your apples? And he goes, of course I wash my apples. And that was like a nightmare for me. Like, how is the guy that just like, he'll shove shit into his mouth. He literally eats shit, but
and
he washes
his apples. Yeah. And I still don't know who it is. So Hank and I both were like, I think you made that up, PFT.
No, he's a pretty famous dude.
Yeah, well, not famous enough to get in my circles.
Okay.
I don't know if you know, I'm a TV star now, so
yeah.
Not that famous. Okay. Kings Stay Kings, first up, Skip Bayless. This was tweeted at 4:46 p.m. I don't know what time zone that is.
That's not the right time zone. It was like in the second quarter.
Middle of the second quarter, he said, well, that's it. The Atlanta Falcons are Super Bowl champions.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to be the first on the breaking news. Always tough when you get that wrong. And he also was tweeting like at 2 a.m. on Saturday still mm-hmm. about the Mason Crosby kick and his Dallas Cowboys being in the Super Bowl.
What did he say about it? He said something like the witchcraft of Mason. He's
yeah.
getting like further
deep.
And further off the deep
He's
end.
He's getting deep.
He's getting close to Alex Jones territory.
All caps, too. All caps.
Oh, yeah.
Always all caps. Speaking of Alex Jones, we have a PR 101 for him. He said he announced before the Super Bowl that you should watch closely Lady Gaga's halftime performance, which was stellar, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It was anyone who hated that, get out of my face. Stop mm-hmm. listening to this show. But also
keep listening and tell your
subscribe.
Friends and tell your
stay
friends
subscribe
to listen.
To make sure you download every
yeah,
episode.
Absolutely.
But anyway, Alex Jones said before, he said Lady Gaga to conduct satanic ritual at halftime, globalists will push dark agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So there was he got really in depth about how she's going to be standing over us in the stadium,
doing thinking satanic
that she's
stuff.
Better. Yeah, and you know Lady Gaga's fans are called the Monstars.
Wow. Yeah,
the monsters. Are they monsters?
Little monsters, right?
Little monsters.
Yeah,
yeah.
Monsters.
So and they do a little hand thing that's very satanic.
Very
satanic.
Is it like a trident thing,
mm-hmm.
like a pitchfork
and
type thing?
Like we said, Lady Gaga. Does anyone know where she is? Has anyone got an eyes on her? Because I think she just jumped right down into hell after it.
Mm,
she
yeah.
completed the catch, though.
Well, I can see a couple elements of Satan in that halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
You can find Satan if you look hard enough.
Yeah, like the Monster
anywhere.
Energy lady.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that lady is probably the most woke person on the planet. Two things I saw. Number one, the drones.
Yeah.
So drones circling overhead, mind control things.
But Obama liked that part.
I want to work on. Yeah, Obama was. That was his
was
favorite part.
Off
he was
those
pounding
drones.
Off hard.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's pulling. Yeah. He was in a 7-Eleven buying like who knows what about.
Next
like
to Jamal
a six
Anderson.
Pack of ice, yep. Just jerking off, watching that on TV. So, yeah, the drone part was number one. And then number two, right after she was done, there was a comeback by the GOAT.
Wow.
So just connecting some dots out there.
Connect
It's getting the pretty
dots.
Hot. Pretty hot in my head.
Damn.
Also, hey, I think that Tom Brady might be an Alex Jones product user. You know, like the colloid silver stuff, his erection juice, which I've tried.
Yep.
The InfoWars Viagra.
People
I've tried it. It doesn't really work.
People forget.
You just have a semi all day. It's like non-contact demolition.
Yeah.
Type thing.
People forget Tom Brady was the first quarterback with a trainer to create concussion water. He was the originator of concussion water. People gave Russell Wilson a lot of shit for it, but Tom Brady's like wonky whatever dude he has that works him out all year.
Yeah.
He thinks he can cure concussions.
Yeah, well, I have no reason to doubt him. I mean, in the first place, we don't know if they're real yet.
Right.
So I saw the movie Concussion, by the way. On the way over.
To the truth.
By the way, I'm also working on a Alex Jones impression. I'm not ready to debut
okay.
yet.
Okay, all right.
Well, globalists.
You're going to have to take your shirt off for that, though.
Yeah. I'm a man.
Okay.
The globalists are coming after
let's
me.
Let's keep that in there. Let's wait to unveil that. We have a thoughts and prayers. This one goes out to our fellow journalists. Mm. All of them on a deadline. They had a lot of stories written at halftime. Mm-hmm. They were ready to hit send. Mm-hmm. The Falcons winning their first Super Bowl. Tom Brady's run, the Belichick's run coming to a close. Mm-hmm. Turns out they had to rip that puppy up, write a whole new story. Probably missed their deadlines.
A lot of dynasty talk that got thrown out the window.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of is Matt Ryan elite takes that
yes.
will go unanswered.
Yep.
But there was a saving grace after we sent our thoughts and prayers to them because Dante Hightower stepped up to the mic and he gave the headline writers all the ammunition they need. You ready for this?
Yeah.
He said, Julian Edelman, that catch, that's why we call him Julian Incredelman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did Darren Revelle get in his ear before that?
I'm sure that he did.
That was an unbelievable catch. I actually, because the game was so good, I forgot about that catch. And
it was amazing.
Not only was that catch so great, but it also, Dan Quinn, fucking moron, used his final timeout to review that when on the first replay, someone in the booth has to see it.
This is where there's a huge gap in football. It's like the coaches really know what they're doing, calling X's and O's and all that, but a really good fan of football knows whether or not to challenge a turnover or a catch.
I always do.
Like way better than the coach.
I'm actually undefeated on my challenges from my couch.
I'm really good at it.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm not even exaggerating.
No, I'm not either.
I'm sure that if you watch Red Zone 16 weeks a year, you're more qualified to do that job.
Right, because we just watch like borderline plays till our eyes bleed.
That's right. So if you're an NFL coach out there, maybe your initials are DQ.
Yep, hire us. Part of my take, guys.
Ready
we'll,
to do it.
We'll hang out. All we need is access to that free buffet the journalist
gets. Free buffet, and I just need to watch football.
And
all
17
day.
Dip cups up in that little booth.
Yeah.
That's in the 1950s.
The foggy booth. Yeah,
the 1950s booth.
The one that still has ashtrays.
Yeah, where you can harass women and not get in trouble.
Mm.
I assume. I don't know.
It's basically a set of Mad Men.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Pretty great.
But, by the way, thoughts and prayers to the journalists on the deadline. But they also got a win this weekend. They kept noted bad boy Terrell Owens out of the Hall of Fame. That's how you flex your muscles and let everyone know, hey, the media still runs this league.
Well, T.O. thinks that he's a writer, right? He gets
a
Sharpie in his pocket, appropriating journalist culture.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Eating the free buffet, throwing popcorn down
his
face
mask. Absolutely. That's right, T.O. Mm-hmm. You can't get away with that shit, okay?
Don't show it up. By the way, why hasn't someone hired T.O. to do an ad in his driveway, doing the crunches and
doing
stuff.
Doing sit-ups?
Yeah, talking about not being in the Hall of Fame.
Nestle's Crunch.
Why, do I have to think of all the ideas?
Him. Yeah.
Right. Also, the avocado. Did you see the avocado commercial when they're like, we're in a secret society? And like, Kyle, stop recording. Why isn't that Antonio Brown recording the secret society on his Facebook Live?
That's pretty
good. I have to come up with all the ideas.
Yeah. What's his name from the Warriors, Draymond Green.
Right.
Like, his dick just shows up in the background. Whoops.
Whoops. Snapchat.
Shouldn't have recorded that.
But seriously, T.O. not being in the Hall of Fame is probably the biggest joke of all time.
Maybe he should have won that Super Bowl.
What is he, second most in reception yards?
No, number two? Is that what you're telling our listeners to strive for out there?
Number two. Okay. But Terrell Davis,
got what he had two good years.
Yeah, you can't have more than one Terrell at a time, though.
Yeah, best running back Bill Simmons seen since 1973.
Yep, and at least we got a kicker in there too.
Yeah.
Also, you know, we haven't discussed this yet. Are the Falcons good?
Oh, let's actually talk about that. It's is the Pat Riley dead yet segment? Are the Falcons good?
I don't know. What's the rest of the schedule?
Well,
like?
Let's first say it was a wonky year, and they won a couple. They beat the Packers in the NFC Championship game.
Right, that's a big win. But they also had some bad losses. This
they
year.
Lost the Chiefs,
the Chargers too, right?
Chiefs at home.
Yeah,
there was a 2-point conversion or reversion
right.
that went back.
Reversion.
Yeah, so I don't know. The Falcons might not be. They had actually they had. If you look at the first half of the Super Bowl, they were good.
Yeah.
Second half, not so good.
Kind of an either or game for them.
Right.
They
either
had a lot
they
of either
keep
or
playing like yeah. the first half, or they play like the second half.
Yeah, they're the yeah buts. You know, yeah, they're good, but you know, yeah. I don't know.
Okay, Falcons, the 2016
and then,
Falcons.
You know, they're going to be losing their coordinator too. It's like I don't know. We'll have to. What's their upcoming schedule? What's
next
year's
yeah,
schedule
who do they
like
have
for?
In the preseason? First game.
Yeah,
we know that yet.
I
don't know. Whatever, we'll check it out.
Probably, I'm going to go with the Jets.
Yeah, they should win that.
They
game.
They should win that game.
If they don't win that game, I'm going to say they're not.
Yeah,
good.
They're off. You know what I'm doing? I'm crossing them off my list.
Yeah. Well. You can uncross them.
Yeah, it's a pencil.
Next up, we have, speaking of the NFC South, a little stay classy for the city of New Orleans. They fired off fireworks after the Falcons lost.
To celebrate the Falcons' loss, yeah.
Wow.
Also a shot at JPP.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Like, hey, we have hands that can fire fireworks still.
But on the other hand, you know, no, that was not intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, JPP. On the other hand, if you're in New Orleans, you should be allowed to shoot off fireworks whenever you want.
Yeah.
That's kind of the rule.
That's once a city gets to a point where everyone is drunk all the time, I think adding fireworks is only the safest thing you can do.
New Orleans should be the purge.
Right.
Like, once you step within these walls, just put a big bulletproof wall around New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
And whatever you do on the inside of the wall is okay.
Buy a hurricane and get a Roman candle free.
Yeah.
That should be the rules in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
If we make New Orleans great again.
I love it.
Just a thought. Next up, we have put one in his ear hole. This is for our friend Marky Mark, Miami Heat fan / New England Patriot fan. Left in what, like with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, he left really early.
Really
I
mean, early.
It might have even been the third quarter that he got out of there.
Really early. So how about you respect your favorite player, I assume, Tom Brady, and his ability to come back in a game.
Yeah.
That's a bad look.
Well, it's also kind of a metaphor for Marky Mark's career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he started to suck, and then he left, and then things kind of lucked out for him because he did steroids. So, pretty much the same thing happened to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, pretty much the exact same thing. next up, what else we got left? What
no offense, Marky Mark.
Yeah, no offense. Hey, if you listen, no offense, but seriously, that was a fucked up move for you to leave. The Super Bowl.
Yeah, you little bitch.
It's the best comeback
you and
of
your,
all time.
You and your bitch brother.
Yeah. Which, what's the Donnie want?
Donnie.
You go eat a Wahlburger.
Wahlburger. Mac, yeah. Mac and Donnie.
Head body.
Not you, Mac.
Do we have anything else besides respect the biz, or should we finish with respect the biz?
Let's close it out.
All right. This is a strong show. Great Super Bowl. I wish every day was Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Respect the biz to us. We snuck into Super Bowl Radio Row
also
on Friday.
Also not to brag. Let's
not
just include that.
Yeah, yeah, not to brag, but also. Oh, actually, no, I did have something before Respect the Biz. We had a not to brag, but we party. The Super Bowl party
yeah.
that we had on Friday. Highlights. My highlight was I went up to Tony Romo, asked him to take a picture of his hat.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, I'm not taking pictures. I said, but Tony, I literally just want a picture of your hat. And he just said, no. And then Ezekiel Elliott's big security guard came over and like basically slapped me out of the
yeah.
way.
Was Ezekiel Elliott wearing a full shirt?
Ezekiel Elliott was, let's just say he wasn't, he didn't really want to hang out with anyone.
Okay.
Let's just say
he was
that.
Solo.
Yeah, he was, well, solo. He just had a security guard that would basically, if you were just checking your like text message on your phone, mm-hmm. the security guard would just come and slap the phone out of your hands. I also went up to Stan Kroenke and Les Snead and said they broke my heart when they fired Jeff Fisher. And they both kind of like nervously laughed. And then 10 minutes later, Les Snead was like, what? Like, why do you like Jeff Fisher? And I showed him my Jeff Fisher chart. I was like, I don't know. I just kind of like how bad he is, but how long he stayed around and like the long shirts. And he's like, oh, okay. He thought
you
I was actually
also
gonna have like analysis.
Yeah, you were also telling him like that the reason you like Jeff Fisher is because Les Snead was so bad at his job
yeah,
that
right.
he wouldn't fire.
Right, right. So it was a little
so
awkward moment, but shoot or shoot.
Yeah, there you go. My favorite part of the party was meeting Guy Fieri.
Mm-hmm.
So Guy, here's the thing about him. He is probably the most recognizable person everywhere he goes.
Ever.
It doesn't matter.
Ever.
So every step that he takes, he's got like eight people grabbing him, trying to take selfies with him. And I saw him towards the front when he was getting like a second of alone time. So I went up to him real quick and I was like, hey, guy, I know that you get pulled aside all the time. And saying that as my opener is a bad idea.
Yep.
Because it gives guy a second to go,
yeah.
All right, what bullshit is this guy going to ask me? Yep. That I've heard a million times. But then I hit him with this, right? Best opening ever. Guy, I want to say I snuck into your $500 a head party last year pretending to be a bartender, ate all your food, drank all your free top shelf liquor, and then took a crap so big I broke your toilet.
Ooh.
And guy looks at me and goes, that is awesome. And he was like, well, we've got another party this year, and it's $750 this time. I'm gonna try to sneak in again.
Even more sodium.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, the donkey sauce was Flavortown.
Flavortown. It sounds like we were living our best life. You got to meet Guy and tell him that you took a big shit at his party. Mm-hmm. I got to meet Stan Kroenke, and I also told Stan, which this actually is a good thing to lead with because I bet he gets everything opposite. Mm-hmm. I went up to him and I said, hey, Stan, I just want to say thank you for moving your franchise out of that shithole St. Louis. And he was like, okay, that's probably the first time anyone said that to me.
That was not to brag, but
we partied with famous people for a little bit. They didn't really like us. Yeah. I think they just came because everything was free.
Yeah, and then I went outside and just drank beers on a porch.
Yeah, and then I went back and I ate like 75 Totinos, fell asleep, and had diarrhea the next morning. Mm-hmm. So, hey, listen, guys, stars are just like you. all right, last one, respect the biz. We snuck on a radio row, on Friday, thanks to Millmore's great Photoshop. I guess we're incriminating ourselves here, big time.
We're allowed to say this.
Millmore is alleged Photoshop.
Millmore didn't Photoshop, but if he did know how to Photoshop, he would have Photoshopped using, what did you use?
So there was a Captain Crunch barcode.
Okay,
so.
The Captain Crunch barcode.
So our passes had a Captain Crunch thing where the barcode was, and your name was
Tony Tomsula, really under the radar.
Mine was a name that I'm not going to say because it might actually be a real person.
It's a real person.
I think it's a real person.
So
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say mine, but we were going in, and my prediction is that next year, there's going to be a major upgrade in security.
Yes.
Because we were able to get around way too
easily.
We
walked around and made a scene. We were wearing Hawaiian shirts. We looked like total assholes.
I was farting a lot. Yeah. Like, people could smell.
People were coming up to us.
People were literally holding our credentials, like, up to the light because they knew that we weren't supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And, like, other people that knew us, and they were looking at it and like laughing and patting us on the back,
right,
like good job.
People were coming up to us on Radio Row being like, holy shit, you guys got in here, like very loudly. So it was not exactly like, we weren't really that under the radar. The great moment was we probably walked through like three different levels of security, and we did have the barcode, the Captain Crunch barcode. That would have been awkward if we got it scanned. So we walked through one.
These passes and make you scrape the roof of your mouth.
And they almost like they like kind of paused for a second. We thought they were going to scan it, and we were walking and like, oh man, that was close. Like, you know, they almost scanned our barcode, and PFD was like, I said to him, if they ask, let's just say that we put our passes in the wash in the dryer. It's like, obviously,
it screwed it up.
Yeah, heated it up. He's like, oh, that's a good idea. I was just going to say that I put my pass in the microwave. Like, okay, so it's good that we talked this one out.
That was like, because you reach that stage where you're a little bit of a panic. You go up to the front of the line, and it's like, oh, shit, if they actually scan, I got to have a lie going quick. And that the microwave idea was number one. In retrospect, I should have said, like, I put it on a magnet for
like
a half an hour.
I put it too close to my magnet collection. You know, guy stuff. So
we're
it
was big north south guy.
It was great experience walking around dragging our balls across Roger Goodell's forehead, but he's back, so it's fine. He's fine.
He's fine. He's laughing about it.
But we do have a funny video where we basically walked up to people and did some rogue journalism interviews. Have a lot of recurring guests now. Recurring guest JJ Watt,
Terrell Owens.
Recurring guest Terrell Owens. Recurring guest Cordell Stewart. Mm-hmm. Lot of recurring guests. A lot of new recurring guests.
Stephen A. Smith. Had a hot interview with him.
Not happy. Not happy with us.
We rubbed him the wrong way. Yeah, it was like petting. It's like a petting a cat against its hair.
he was out fast. But it was a great Super Bowl week. Great Super Bowl. That's the show. We have some leftover Super Bowl interviews that will be coming up. We did like Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, all those guys. We have Mike Singletary, Lance Briggs. So we're going to have those in the next couple weeks. We'll roll those out. And like we said, we're going to try our best. We're going to try to get Chris Long, mm-hmm. possibly Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
We'll see who else. We're going to guilt trip them. And that's our show. And we will see you Wednesday. Shout out to Millmore. Thank you again. Follow him, Stu Millmore. Don't feel bad for him, even though he's like pretending, like, "Oh man, it's so
humbling,
what so hard."
You know what you're doing right now, Millmore? You're doing that. I'm so humbled to have my 50th championship in the last 2 years.
To win another Super Bowl.
Fuck yourself.
Wow. And they're gonna win again next year. Yeah. That's the worst part.
Love you guys, except for Patriots fans, but kind of love you guys too.